From the home of good times, great oldies, and some sports, Studio B, this is View from the Bleachers. How we doing today, guy?
I'm warm.
Yeah.
Not hot.
By the way, I'm Eric.
Oh, I'm Aaron.
There it is.
Yeah.
We should wear a name tag.
You should.
We really, really ought to at this point.
I already do. I don't need to.
Yeah. I know who. I know who you are.
Yeah.
Likewise. It's nice to see you. It's been a good week.
Yeah.
It's nice outside. I'm not a complaint about the hot, and I'm not a complaint
like
about
hot.
The no rain.
Yeah. I can go live in Alaska and be completely content.
Could you really, though?
I really could.
The first.
I've watched the show.
Yeah, you'd have to go. I've watched the show. I wouldn't be happy.
Oh, I would.
I would be happy, like, in the nice southern Alaska part, well below the Arctic Circle. That's where I could live.
Well, even Alaska gets to be, like, 80, 90 some points in summer for them.
Yeah, they never complain that it's hot. I bet they never. Zero times.
Yeah.
Well, welcome to the week of sports.
What week?
It's been a full 7 days of a whole sport. We actually got stuff. I know last week, well, it's been, you know, it's hit or miss, pun intended, with some of that stuff, because it's just, it's light. Like I said, we could talk, because I know both of us are NFL fans.
Good.
So we could talk 30 minutes, probably almost every day, about just random NFL things or things we've heard on sports talk radio. But
I don't know, sports talk radio people do it day in and day out. Like Greenberg.
Yeah.
You know? He's 2 hours in the morning, and then another 2 hours for his show.
You got to figure he's. I mean, I've got a.
He's not it now. He's actually in Denver right now because he's on ABC too.
I'd assume most of them they have, when you have researchers, writers, a staff, a producer. As long as you can keep up, you know, talk about it. Somebody is providing you all the stats and all the.
You would think at that point.
You'd hope, you know, but otherwise, yeah.
But he was complaining. I was listening to him on Tuesday morning, one of the rare times he's actually, because during the end of NBA season, he covers that for ABC and all those guys.
Yep.
So he's like complaining because for the next 2 weeks, starting today, he's got to be on the road for 2.5 weeks between Miami and Denver. He doesn't get a layover at the house.
Oh, sure. No, there's
you know, so he's complaining about it. I'm like, man, that's really tough.
Those always seems like a tough thing to complain about, traveling.
You know, front row seats.
They stay more hotels in a week than I have stayed in 5 years.
Yeah.
Give or take.
Yeah.
In the world of sports.
Well, we'll get there.
One day at a time. Yeah. Well, we talked about this corporate sponsorship. Yeah, we really got to do a little more legwork.
Yeah.
For people who know people who know people, we really, really got to shake some trees, get a little bit of...
We'll get Gary's Rock Shop to sponsor
us. It's next door. They're good. They seem super nice. Yeah. I like rocks. I actually do. I do. I like rock. I got a rock tumbler.
All right. Sports.
Man, sports. Are we really going to do? Okay.
We could start talking about the garden, too.
I mean, it's on the list. In case we talk a little too fast today, I'll absolutely give you.
I'll talk slower.
Okay. Thank you. Brewers. Brewers, once again, third week in a row, give or take, have played below 500.
No, really?
Yep. This week was 2-4. They were 1-2 and 1-2 against the Giants and the Blue Jays. Giants and Blue Jays both had records very, very similar.
I see the Pirates are creeping up on them.
I think we're still a game.
As of right now, it says one game behind,
and it's by no fault of, they just, nobody in the division feels like winning 7 out of 10 games. Which is great. go Crew, because it still feels nice to say you're 3 games up above 500, you're a first-place team, even with nobody outside of Owen Miller and Christian Yelich, who are... I mean, it's a bounce-back year for Christian Yelich all the way around, because he's just been hurt and not good for a couple of years. But Owen Miller, he's still a Wisconsin. He's from Wisconsin. Former first-round pick of the Indians. Got traded in the offseason to the Brewers. He's a young guy. He's hitting over .300. The month of May, he was the player of the year, or player of the month.
Nice.
He had 29 hits. He hit .364. A lot of RBIs. Yeah, he's hitting fantastic contact hitter. And it really, really... I mean, it hasn't made a difference, but you got to keep getting on base. You know, this is a day and age where a guy can get on first base and be on third fairly easily. Stealing second is not a challenge anymore.
Right.
You should be able to see some headway with a guy hitting like that. He just keeps now that he's solidified himself somewhere in the top of that lineup, and Christian Yelich is still yeah, they're playing. Those two are playing really well. Other than that, their two rookies are both hitting right around 200. Joey Weimer and Bryce Terang have not played really well. Willie Adames, their all-star, their best hitter of the last couple of years, got hit by a foul ball this week. Oh, he's on the DL.
Oh, good.
I think it was concussion. It looked pretty scary.
You get hit by a baseball.
The replay, yeah. Yep. He got hit by a baseball, squared up, and so he's going to miss, 10 or so games. He wasn't playing. He was hitting 200. Not playing all that well. So not a huge loss on the field, but he was their leader. As soon as that happened in the game, the Brewers had three errors in an inning, a terrible inning right after it happened, and they really haven't played good since the first 2 weeks of the season, but they have played really not well after Adames went out. Leveling out the ship a little bit was Julio Teheran. He's former rookie of the year for Atlanta back, we'll call it 5-6 years ago. Has had injuries and not pitching well for the last few years.
Yeah.
He's been on AAA teams, other teams, rosters, independent league. Showed up at the Brewers' doorstep, pitched really well. Yeah. He pitched a shutout, had a game yesterday, no walks, no strikeouts, no runs. No runs. He's an ERA under one in two starts, which, when you're looking, hey, it's been a week. You got to take the wins where you can, especially on a team where if you're a starter for the Brewers, you're probably going to get hurt. Apparently, every starter on the Brewers at some point this year is just missing games. So anytime you can find somebody to pitch six innings every 5 days and not give up a whole bunch of runs, you'll take it. So, yeah, they've Julio Teheran, like I said, that'd be another – every year it seems like the Brewers take one guy and just count on him to have a career year. And, as a playoff team for the last few years, it's worked.
Yeah.
It was going to be Brian Anderson this year. It was Jesus Aguilar a few years ago. It was this year it's Christian Yelich again, hitting 260, hitting, stealing bases, playing okay. Wade Miley a couple of years ago, last 2 years ago, same thing. He showed up halfway through the season and just started pitching really, really well. That was super helpful. So that was, like I said, if you're looking for silver linings, trying to go, it's 2-4. It isn't great, but the Brewers haven't been great. So this week would be a really nice week to see, because I think you're getting pretty close into division games. Around the corner for the Brewers. I'm pretty sure this week, if I was looking at that correctly, are they getting into some division games finally?
Reds, four game stretch. Then they got Brewers at Reds, Orioles at the Brewers,
and the Orioles are good again too.
And then there's the Athletics,
who are terrible.
Did you see that video about the Athletics? The fan that ran on the field.
No.
And the caption of it was, even the security doesn't care.
No, they just let him go?
Yeah, they let him run the bases all the way around. He just was jumping up and up and down. They're like, yay.
All 900 fans that showed up into Oakland. Yeah, they're really, really sparse in a giant coliseum of a stadium. Yeah, that's a whole separate thing. Yeah, no, this feels like a stretch of 10, 12 games that not only are they must win, because you want to, if you're a fan of winning baseball, you'd like to see some of it from the Brewers, but
yeah.
These are against bad teams. The Orioles are not, I should say. The Orioles
are really good, aren't
they? They've been traditionally bad for a number of years, but the last 2 years, they've been much like the Brewers. They've drafted and brought guys up. The Orioles this year reminds me of the Brewers from a few years ago for any Brewers fans that remember when Ricky Weeks, Prince Fielder, Ryan Braun, a lot of guys came up right at the same time for the Brewers, and all of a sudden the Orioles have the same thing. They brought up a lot of prospects all at the same time, and so they've been good. But yeah, if you're the Brewers, this would be a really, feels like a broken record as a Brewers fan, but this would be a really good week to win six, four out of six,
Because
they're right in that middle pack under the Brewers somewhere, three. Divisional. So really, we could be talking Brewers have a bad week. All of a sudden, Brewers could find themselves in third place in their division. Lose a couple games to the Reds, and all of a sudden they're
they lose to the Orioles. If you lose to the Athletics, you should just turn it in right
You
now.
Should be there. I really wish that some of the pro sports in America had the same relegation system that they do in European soccer, so that terrible football teams would be relegated to having to play in the XFL for a year. I would very much like to see the Oakland A's just have to play in AAA for a year. They're
so something like that. Do they bring in another team then?
They do. Yep.
So they rotate. Oh.
The bottom in like, let's say, European English soccer, they have divisions, four divisions, let's say. The bottom four teams in the top division go to Division Two. The top four teams in Division Two move up to Division One.
Wow.
So they have the opportunity. Now they're playing against the big boys. Now they can get some bigger free agents. Maybe they can, you know, so it gives these teams a chance to go. So a lot of these teams kind of bounce back and forth.
In theory, then, they'll be like for baseball, if they... let's say that's the Brewers end up being last or whatever.
Yeah,
they could swap with the Loggers.
They would. Yeah, they can go play in AAA Nashville. Yeah,
Nashville. Okay.
Whoever won the AAA All Star, whoever won AAA Nashville. Yes, in theory. Yeah, Oakland doesn't.
That would be interesting. With even football doesn't really have a minor league football.
I mean, XFL. I wouldn't mind seeing a team get sent to Tampa Bay this year if they're terrible, get shipped up to Canada for a year. And we get Canadian team for a year.
They're missing out on
the
opportunity.
The NBA. Like, we need to see.
But, legitimately, though, the NBA and baseball have got minor leagues.
Yes.
You know, the NFL doesn't really, because it's not really, XFL's not really.
I'd love to see the best team in the G League. You know, I'd love to see the get promoted up for a year. Why not?
Instead of seeing it'd team be great being, because... That G League team then would have a shot at some prime time.
You would absolutely.
You know, you get that
coaches,
revenue.
Your players,
God. That
your arena, you know, your fans get something.
So that would also help you. That would also maybe even take care of tanking.
It would. Yeah.
Because, you're going to tank? Well, fine. Go to the G League.
If you don't win the number one pick, you're going to be in the G League.
But the problem with that will never happen because of money.
Well, it's in same thing college football, right? Like, I would love to see the worst teams in Division One get booted down to Division Two for a year. Let me see the Division Two championships, South Dakota State, get moved up.
How many people would be pissed with that, though?
I mean...
That'd be great.
Root for a better
that'd
team.
Be that'd be
a better
great,
owner.
Though.
If you're a professional team and you are consistently terribly bad, like the Clippers were for a bunch of years. Just knock them down to the CBA.
See?
Yeah.
They should listen to us.
They really should.
You know?
Yeah.
They're going to improve everything.
100%. I will get on the ball to... I'll talk to Rob Manfred at the baseball. If you want to get a hold of Goodell, when you run into him,
I got him on speed dial. Don't worry
about it. Next week, yep. I got my meeting with is it Gary Bettman? Is running the hockey? I have no idea, but yep. No, that's
I like hockey. But I just don't follow as much.
That's how it works in European soccer, and for me, that would at least it's not a terrible idea.
It's not. It's you know, I'm surprised nobody's ever said it, but they all know because it's money,
right?
You know, season ticket holders,
and in European soccer. If you're relegated down, you're still on TV somewhere. You still have a stadium filled with your local.
Yeah.
You know, your 20,000, your 10,000 seat stadium, your whatever. If you're the best team in Division Two of soccer, that's great because you get moved up. You know, if you're the best team in Division Four, like is it Ryan Reynolds and Rob McElhinney bought a Wrexham soccer team. They moved up from Division 4 to 3 to 2 in just a couple of years by doing that, by investing money and being, they've won their way up. So next year they'll be in, I think, like the second division.
Nice.
Yeah. So that that wraps up Brewers stuff. So hopefully they don't get relegated at the end of the year. We'd like to see, like I said, a good week.
I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing the Chicago Bears play in the XFL.
They'd win something. You'd think they'd
be. Or the Houston Texans.
Yes. Yeah, 100%.
Absolutely.
You get a year of Bryce Young dominating the XFL before he comes to the NFL. Yeah, I'm fine
with
that, too.
Confidence level. Oh, nothing negative about it.
Let's get on. Let's talk to somebody who knows something about it. You know what I'm saying? We are really spinning our wheels here.
Anything to talk about in NFL?
Not a ton in the NFL.
Rodgers is actually working out.
I was going to say, other than the things you've seen, if you're a sports radio fan and, You could be a sports radio. I catch enough of the sports radio here, there, and otherwise that there's not much happening in the world of the NFL other than
which is really weird because today is June 1st, so all those cuts and everything, all the roster bone, all that stuff takes place technically today and tomorrow.
Yes, by the time this is a Thursday evening about 5 o'clock. So by tomorrow, by the time this airs, 9:30. WDRT on Friday mornings. The NBA Finals will be on game one will be over. Game one is tonight. And yeah, these roster cuts started today and run through, you know, a news cycle. So next week we will absolutely probably
because the one I'm following for me, my Vikings fans, is Dalvin Cook.
Yeah,
he's the kind of he's the only one right now that's you know, the free agents that's not signed or anything mm-hmm. like that. But they cut him. I think we saved like $11 million, which we were already cap tight.
And if you're a team like the Vikings, I saw there was two names. I was looking at the list of like good, we'll call them good NFL free agents. You know, there's a reason these guys aren't signed yet. Your Teddy Bridgewaters, your Frank Clark.
Delvin's different though. He's still top 10.
But there's
10.
A couple of if they can't afford him, they're not going to keep him. But would you replace him for half the price with like say
Alexander Mattison?
Like, well, you're going to have Madison next year. You didn't draft anybody that's going to be something, right?
No.
Well, so what about Ezekiel Elliott? Would you take
or
Leonard Fournette sitting on as your second back for $4 million, $5 million a year?
No, but our backup is not a bad guy. He ran back. He was doing kick returns and all that stuff.
Oh,
he was actually,
I
can't even remember his name. Adlib. No, I don't know. I'm going to butcher the name, so.
Yes, you will. You should.
I can research that.
Well, because the best free agent in the last week, the NFL free agent that is notable is DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah.
DeAndre Hopkins was a former top five pick for the Houston Texans, five-time Pro Bowler, five-time All-Pro, was traded a few years ago for very little to the Arizona Cardinals. Arizona Cardinals paid him. He signed the largest wide receiver contract in history. He was owed $30 million. They saved $10 million by cutting him. They tried to trade him. I didn't remember. DeAndre Hopkins is really good. Sounds
he's still
silly.
Really good.
I mean, I thought he was older. I thought he was injury prone.
Yeah, but you can't count him being in Arizona because Kyler Murray was either A, not healthy. I mean.
Yeah, that's another team we could relegate. Yeah. I love the Arizona Cardinals. They are my favorite football team. Yeah, since the Jake Plummer days, I've been a Cardinals fan, right? They could have been relegated many, many times, many, many years.
Right.
Even nowadays, yeah, they're not run well. But yeah, so DeAndre Hopkins is out there. It can be signed by anybody. It's a weird time.
They're saying, you know, places like Cleveland, Deshaun Watson, reunion.
Sure.
You know, maybe.
Man, can you imagine the party those two would have after?
You can't have them have a party anymore.
No parties. Yeah, but it's a funny time to find yourself a $20 million a year wide receiver. It's the wrong time of year sign him because the teams that are left with money are not teams that are any better than Arizona because Arizona has money. They clearly had no problem eating $20 million.
He might be one of those where come spring training, somebody gets injured.
I mean,
all of a sudden they'll pick him up.
I would love to see him out of Green Bay. Wouldn't he look fantastic as the number one receiver?
He had a list of all the
Green
quarterbacks.
Yeah. I mean, yes, he would go. But that's the thing is the list of teams who have both a great quarterback and a need at wide receiver pretty slim because most teams are taking care of their quarterback.
Imagine him at Buffalo.
That was actually one of the spots they talked about. Yeah, yeah makes them crazy. Once again for 30 years or so in a row, the Buffalo Bills can be a Super Bowl favorite at that point. He's
going
a guy.
Theoretically Kansas City can snag him up. Well, they have the room to do it.
It's funny. DeAndre Hopkins going to Arizona made them at the time a Super Bowl prohibitive Super Bowl
with
favorite.
Kyler Murray.
I remember it. Kyler Murray was supposed to be something good, but he's still at that spot where a couple of years he can really be.
Yeah,
it's been a few years, but
he's short though.
Short people got, you know, no problems.
Apparently.
And DeAndre Hopkins, if your favorite team's looking to spend $20 million a year to get yourself a wide receiver.
And I think if he goes to the right team, the one he really wants to be with.
No, sure.
He'll take a pay cut.
Yes. Well, he just, like I said, he just got done signing. Yeah. And he's making $20 million from Arizona for nothing. He's not playing for them, but he's getting paid by them. So you can take a pay cut.
Yeah.
He can take any pay cut you want. I mean, I'm not taking a pay cut. I'm not doing that at all.
Yeah.
That was the NFL in a 5 minute.
Well, we get the
spot really. There's I get excited for things like OTAs. I get excited for training camps. Training camps a couple months away. This is a nice big lull. The schedule came out a couple weeks ago. The draft is in the rearview mirror. At this point, you're getting.
That's cool. See, because they have 90 guys on the roster.
Right.
Then they got to go, okay, you're trying to figure out, you know, as us fans, we can only see what we can see because we're not able to go to the practices. Right. And I'd love to, but.
Yeah. They whittle it down from 90 guys to 60. And some of those guys don't even get pads on before they're cut. Yeah,
no.
They decide real quick and early, yeah, you're not a football player. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see. So, yeah, there's just not much NFL for the next couple of weeks. But of course, that being said, there's always something, you know, it's one weird story, one interesting trade, one Aaron Rodgers news cycle away from us being able to talk the NFL again. So I'm hoping to avoid that for at least a couple of weeks.
Let's see, we're going to look up news.
Let's see. Coaching, there was a couple of coaching hires in the NBA.
Oh, NBA.
Yeah, we're going to go kind of throwing darts hod podge style. I'm going to finish up with a preview of the finals.
You're going to give a prediction on the finals then?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Why not? I was wrong about the Super Bowl. I was close. I was actually pretty close. I rewound the tape. I wasn't too far off. I was 6 points.
Who'd you say it was?
I said Kansas City by six or something like that, and it was more. I was off, yeah. But I was in the ballpark, so I watched. You know, like I watched 76ers, the Bucks, both fired their coaches after losing to the Heat. Losing in the playoffs. Basically, if you
every
were
coach.
Every coach, you were at the your Mike got fired. Doc Rivers was the coach of the Sixers. Was replaced by Nick Nurse, who early in the year he was an NBA champion a couple of years ago with Toronto. He was fired in the offseason. He's now the 76ers coach. His lead assistant is now the Milwaukee Bucks coach, Adrian Griffin, a former NBA player, played for, I think, had an 8-year career, yeah. Played for five guys. Pretty indistinguished playing career, but he's been a coach. He was a coach with the Bucks after his playing career,
sure.
And he's been an assistant. You know, one of the highly touted guys who should get a job. So the Bucks got themselves a coach. So hopefully next year we're not blaming the coach.
You will.
Well, you know, it's an interesting offseason for the Bucks. We'll talk about that in a couple weeks because they've got some free agents coming down the line where their team is going to look similar. If it looks similar, it's going to be very expensive. They're hitting that repeater luxury sure. tax spot with some guys paying $40 million a year for Chris Middleton. Re-signing Brooke Lopez, who is 32 years old.
And that's going to be the story for a lot of these teams that aren't, you know, Boston Celtics.
Yeah.
You
got to make a decision on
Tatum and Brown.
Because it sounds good. You should just keep signing all the best players. But eventually, you have to figure out a way. Why are we signing a guy if we're not going to win?
Well, the problem is now, you know, that underlying, that's the format to do. Get yourself three top superstars. Mm-hmm. Well, the Miami Heat have really proved that wrong.
Well, and the Denver Nuggets. The Denver Nuggets, both of those teams. That's the big story for the NBA Finals, by the way. For me, is that both of these teams have done it, quote-unquote, the right way. You can start with Miami. Miami's done it through the draft. And they have seven players who are undrafted free agents on their roster. It is the most points ever scored by a playoff team with undrafted free agents. They've done more with less. Than any other team.
Right.
They play defense, and they're winning with Tyler Hero. They're, call it their third best player. Broke his hand, hasn't played a lot this entire year. Might come back in the finals. They're winning with a 6'9 center and Jimmy Butler. And coaching. They're playing zone defense,
right.
Miami does. And the Denver Nuggets have a second-round pick in Nikola Jokic, who is not only the best passer in the league, but the best low post scorer in the league.
He does everything.
7 foot, 270-pound passing point guard, essentially.
Right.
Not super fast, but he does everything. Jamal Murray was a top three pick. He's their highest drafted guy. The two of them playing pick and roll, old school, just it is unstoppable.
Sure.
They are shooting threes better than anybody. It's an unstoppable setup. By the numbers, like the best pick and roll offense in the history of it's right. Ridiculous, like very high praise for it. So yeah, but both of these teams have made trades and don't have three premier guys and filling in the blanks. They've developed a culture. They've had
sure.
coaches that have been there a while.
In Miami, I mean, that's what everybody says, culture in Miami.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Spoelstra is probably one of the greater coaches.
He went from being, he was the wild card in the LeBron James era. He was a video assistant. He watched videotape, got a job with Pat Riley watching videotape as an assistant coach, worked his way.
Riley knows what he's looking at.
Knew what he was doing. As a GM, as a coach, he's bringing in, guys for the Heat are, they're winning with very little talent.
We are about running out of time. You want to do your prediction quick this week?
Unfortunately, it's going to be Nuggets in six. Yeah. I would love to see it stretch out to seven. I think Miami has a chance to win tonight just based on their in-game mode, they're not fresh by any means.
It's
been 10 days off since the Nuggets have played a game of basketball. So, yeah, I guess that's where we're at. We'll cover a little more other things.
Next week.
Thank you very much to everybody who's listening. Thanks to WDRT for letting us in here to do this. Do we have time for music, or we just go right through?
I'll play a song.
Cool. Can we play what might be the best Led Zeppelin song ever?
Yes.
Thank you. Everybody have a great week. See ya.
Dire Maker by Led Zeppelin.